This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
WKAR. How you doing? I'm Larry Marasco again, joining you for day two of your five-day journey of Larry here in East Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined today by my producer, Alex. Alex, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Just trying to basically get a whole grasp on the free agency moves.
Yeah, no, we'll get into that in the pre-free agency moves, and we'll get into everything NFL at the beginning of the show, talking about the trades that were made yesterday, talking about what might happen at 4 p.m. I'm not going to lie, I missed the midnight start of free agency. You wake up or you stay up till 2 a.m. and, you know, Albert Haynesworth gets $100 million. You know, I missed that moment. I woke up today expecting it. I'd forgotten that it was 4 p.m. So that's always a good time.
That might be just because you were on that New York time zone. You know, we're an hour behind us, you know.
No, you're not.
Oh, no, that's right. We are the same time. But maybe it was the daylight savings time that set you back. It doesn't really even set you forward.
I was actually going to go to bed early last night. I didn't get much sleep Sunday night, I'm not going to lie. And that didn't happen. Met up with an old friend who hopefully we'll talk to tomorrow. And, I got home at like 1 o'clock, so, which isn't a big deal for me. But it was not what was expected. And I'm not going to lie. I went to bed thinking before I could go to ESPN.com and get some free agency news. And there was nothing because I already knew what happened with the trades. We'll also get in some Spartan basketball, Big Ten tournament coming later in the week. And specifically, the NFL Norris division. We'll talk some Lions. We'll get into some Bears. The Vikings obviously making a big move. And what might the Packers do? So that'll be later in the show. Alex will be joining us. The phone numbers to call in, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-952-7870. And let's talk about the trades. They've already happened. First of all, Percy Harvin going to Seattle for a first-round pick, I think a seventh-round pick, and a mid-round pick next year. It's amazing how talent is not really worth anything in the NFL, all because of the salary cap. Percy Harvin might be the most dynamic player in the league with the football in the air, because the moment it touches his hands, it's over. He takes off, and you can't catch him. And it's anywhere in the air, kickoffs, punts, receiving. And the kid's worth the first-round draft pick. That's not going to be Percy Harvin. It's worth the seventh-round draft pick. That's not going to be Percy Harvin. And next year's mid-round pick is not going to be Percy Harvin. And they're not going to add up to Percy Harvin yet. You don't want to pay the man, and you're going to get hurt in the field for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, just to jump off the Percy Harvin bandwagon just for a second. Sure, I mean, the guy's had a lot of receptions, a lot of yards. Christian Ponder's number one target. But the thing is about the Vikings is that although they don't have Percy Harvin anymore, they will still and always will be that legitimate competitor because they have AP. They have one of the top flight backs in the league.
But they have nothing to complement him right now. That's really the problem. You can't. I'm sorry, the cough button was a problem tomorrow. It's gonna be a problem today, obviously. You can't run Adrian Peterson 40 times without having a deep threat, without having any threat. And right now, the Vikings have enough trouble throwing the football over the years. And now without Percy Harvin, who are they throwing to? It's not there. And young receivers are not the answers. Very few receivers come out of the draft and can be a number one receiver wide away, let alone a two or a three. So it's the Lions just got better without doing anything. The whole division just got better without doing anything because the Vikings are down their second best player, if you want, you know, on the offensive side of the football.
Sure, yeah.
And their defense isn't getting any younger. Like I said, it's just an issue I have with the NFL, all sports now, really, because contracts. Money is more important than the talent. It's very interesting. The parity that it creates and is what they want, the owners, because they want everybody to have a chance. But it's kind of ruined the game to a small extent and maybe a larger one in years to come. The other move, Anquan Boldin going to San Francisco, Super Bowl opponents getting in bed together on March 10th. Interesting. The 49ers had, which is amazing, they have a really good receiving core. They lost Moss, but they already have Crabtree. They have Vernon Davis, a good backfield. The rich is just getting richer for a sixth-round draft pick. It's, like I said, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, what? When I first saw the news that it was a six-round pick, I was like, all right. How much money does Anquan Boldin want? How much is the range going to fluctuate?
He has a contract.
Exactly, and that's the thing is they're asking him to drop $2 million off his deal for Ed Reed.
Like I said, the Niners got a steal, and the fact that the Niners were the only ones willing to pay, what is it, 1/20th? 1/20th of their salary cap for a top wide receiver. That's what you're talking about. 1/20th of your salary. Your quarterback's taking up 1/6, and the guy he's throwing to is taking up 1/20th, and you can't find a way to make it work.
Sure. My question is if they wanted a receiver that badly. I mean, sure, he is top flight. It is the Anquan Boldin who notoriously, you know, is up there in Super Bowls. But my question is, why not just go with a free agent that not necessarily is top flight if they're willing to spend that money? Why not go for a Mike Wallace? Even if you're the Vikings, you just lost Percy Harvin. You're not going to, you know, rely on what Jairus Wright, he was their fourth round pick, to replace Harvin as the number one guy. No way. So why not go take you know, a little bit of money into a Mike Wallace who has been semi-productive on Pittsburgh?
But are you talking about the 49ers doing that, or are you talking about anybody?
Even both.
I think Bolden's the right answer. For the value of Boldin, $6 million in a six-round draft pick, I think you're paying nothing. That's just my opinion. I'm sure there's a cap hit involved. I think that cap hit's like $7.5 million, maybe it was $9.5. Can't remember exactly what it was. But still, you're paying a late-round pick, which isn't, let's be honest, it's not going to do much. It's going to give you depth for a guy that could help you win over definitely the next year. And if you extend him, he should be around for a couple of more. You know, he's not a speed guy. He is all buff. I mean, that you're expecting him to go through people and to fight for footballs. Every team should want an Anquan Boldin on their team. It just baffles me that Baltimore couldn't find a way. And the crazy thing is, you know who's one of the few people in football you don't question? Is Ozzie Newsome. I love Ozzie Newsome. I mean, the worst thing that ever happened to the city of Cleveland is that Ozzie Newsome wasn't running the team in Cleveland for longer. I mean, that imagine this team being in Cleveland right now. They'd actually be able to, you know, not have the cheapest seats in the NFL for their fans. And they would have more expensive PSLs and not get rid of them, which they're talking about doing right now. But I question Newsome in this. One of the few guys you can never question the NFL. The guy has a good team on the field year in, year out. And I question it. I can't see why Anquan Boldin wasn't kept, and I can't see why they only got a six-round draft pick for him.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm looking at is not only why they didn't keep Anquan Boldin and they didn't do all they could to keep him and why a six-round pick was given, but the 49ers are already a first-place team. And yes, getting that top-flight guy in Boldin, every team would want that, but you've got to imagine that 49er team, after taking Anquan Boldin, must be completely pressured for cap after, you know, winning the division 2 years in a row.
You know, we can look that up. I honestly don't have their cap hit, but for $6 million, they obviously could fit him in. But they're in a win-now mode. No matter where they are in the cap, you know, you have to. In the NFL, if you're going to win today, you're going to risk tomorrow.
Right, but that's what I'm trying to say, though, is if they're trying to win now and they've already won, they've proven that they can win. Why, you know, sure, they didn't give up much, barely anything at all. They are giving more into their cap space. But why not go after not necessarily that top-flight guy and go after a Mike Wallace or another free agent out there who can be somewhat productive and would be like a solid addition to that team?
See, and the reason why I think they don't is because obviously they have Kaepernick now, and he's going to be there for hopefully a decade. And they have a guy like Crabtree who's still young enough to be his go-to guy for that decade.
Right.
Vernon Davis might lose a step by the end. He's been in the league 6 years, maybe more.
Check it.
He might not be there 10 years from now. But Crabtree could be. And so he has his go-to guy, and they need Boldin to fill the role of his number two receiver, hopefully for their sake, a couple of years, if not at least for next year. And then they'll find their number two guy probably in the draft, hopefully in a mid-round in the next few years. It could be this year, but like we said earlier, you cannot expect a rookie receiver out of college to have an immediate impact on the NFL game. It just doesn't happen in a base offense. It could happen on kick returns. It could happen in punt returns. But it doesn't happen in their base offense. I'm Larry Marasco. This is Sports Talk AM 870 WKAR. If you want to give us a call, phone number is 355-9527. Toll free, 877-952-7870. We're talking NFL free agency and the trades that have preceded it. One other thing to come up, and this, we'll get into this more later when we talk specifically about the Lions, but D'Angelo Hall was cut, which we all knew was coming.
Right.
And if there's anything the Lions need,
exactly,
it's cornerbacks. If there's one thing the Lions don't have, from what I understand, it's salary cap space.
Right.
So I'm not saying Hall is an option, but it is interesting that it's bringing something else to the market that might bring the pay for cornerbacks at a level below him a little cheaper, which might actually help out the Lions in free agency. So they, instead of getting the eighth cornerback now, they might be able to get the seventh, at least pre-Hall. He was the seventh ranked on the free agent. So we'll see what happens there, even though I think, honestly, they're going to go and try to find one in the draft. I think that's the best place to go.
Well, rumor has it about Kaysen, Antoine Kaysen, you know, former cornerback from the Chargers. What are your thoughts on him, Larry?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not. I don't watch a lot of Charger football. I'm being honest. I grew up a Charger fan, so I used to watch a lot of Charger football.
Okay.
But I don't watch a lot of Charger football. So can I give you a definitive answer? No. Could I lie to you? Yes. Love him. No. No. I don't have anything. And the funny thing about the NFL is, and it's getting more true in sports across the board. The only sport that it's not true in is baseball, because as much as it's a team game, it's also a very individual sport. If you're going to hit 30 home runs, if you're that type of hitter, you're going to hit that for any team. It's just going to go up or down a little bit depending on the ballpark you play. But in hockey, in basketball, and in football, depending on who you play for, if you don't fit the style of play, your value can and your performance can go up or down. I mean, LeBron James play for anybody, okay? Calvin Johnson could be a receiver for anybody. But if you lined up, if you exclusively had Wes Welker on the outside in a two-receiver system for his whole career, he might not be Wes Welker. It's all about time and place and where you are fortunate enough to play. And with a guy like Case on any other defensive back, look at I can't pronounce his name. The guy that played for the Raiders defensive back that went to Philadelphia, who died in Philadelphia. I mean, why can't I think? It's like Asamunga. I can't think of his name right now. He was the best cornerback in the league with Revis in Oakland. He goes to Philadelphia and has to play some zone defense, and he's been useless for 2 years. And now I believe he was released, and he's going to be a free agent, and there's not going to be a market for him. So it's all about who you're playing for. So you could bring in a guy, you say Antoine Kaysen, and he could be a great defensive back in San Diego. But if you don't use him in the same way that he was successful in San Diego, the odds of him being successful with his new team are slim. What do you got for me over there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to look up the name.
Why I can't think of how to pronounce his name. This is ridiculous.
We're both flown.
So, moving on. Free agency starts at 4 p.m. And you know what? We're going to go into the Norris division in the NFL, because this is the one team that I think free agency is going to help the most if they're smart. The Chicago Bears have been a good football team for a while. They haven't been great. They've been 8-8 to 10 wins for 5 or 6 years. They've missed the playoffs many a times because they're just a win away. And the one thing they really need is an offensive line. I don't know how they have gone so long without being able to protect Cutler. It just makes no sense to me. 2 years ago, they played the Giants on Monday or Sunday Night Football, and he was sacked 9 times, and it was an embarrassment to see a Bears team. And I'm not a Bears fan. I'm really not an anything fan in football. But how they can put a team together that's so solid on defense and not be able to find anything to protect a quarterback is ridiculous. And right now, there are multiple tackles available in free agency, and it's not a bad draft for what they're looking for. There is a very good chance Chicago comes out of the spring. Actually, we're winter now, right? But out of free agency with a very solid football team and taking care of their needs. I mean, and it just lines up perfectly for them, in my opinion. Do you have anything to say, Al?
Yeah, well, the thing is like for the Chicago Bears, when they had Rex Grossman, when they won that Super Bowl run, their offensive line was not that great. I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Rex Grossman wasn't that probably polished of a quarterback yet, and he didn't really have that solid of an offensive line then.
But we're talking cheese right now. We're talking Swiss.
So, well, what I'm saying is if he didn't have that much offensive line then, and he got to a Super Bowl, then I don't think that necessarily having a great offensive line is the key to their success.
I mean, what you're bringing up is there's a lot of turnover on the team between Rex Grossman and today, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Fair.
So
yeah,
they had They had an awful offense back then. Now, you know, they have a running game. Forte is great. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best. And obviously they can block for a running game, but their pass blocking is atrocious. And they have some weapons. I just think it lines up perfectly for the Bears. Of all the teams this year that can come out with they don't need to do anything ridiculous. They don't need to sign the best tackle on the market. They just need to have an average offensive line, and they could be really good football team.
Yeah,
you know the Vikings going to lose a lot of games next year. Sorry, I can't see. They're going to have two first round picks in the bottom 15 of the draft. I don't see them.
What if they make a splash on a wide receiver, though? You think Percy Harvin is that impactful on that team?
And chemistry is an issue, and wide receivers, like other positions in football, if they don't have that connection with the quarterback, the timing is a huge issue, and it doesn't happen in one offseason. You know, Santonio Moss went from the Jets to the Redskins years ago and didn't miss a beat. But it doesn't happen that often. You know, Roy Williams was a decent wide receiver in Detroit, a really good possession receiver. Goes to Dallas, gone, dies. Joey Galloway, same thing. You know, when they traded two first-round picks for him way back when, didn't have much of a career in Dallas. It's just a tough thing to recreate. The NFL, just like the defensive players, if it's not a similar system to what they played and what they were successful in, they're going to have a tough time. Unless they're a one-on-one player and they could just say, go play, we'll just let you have that side of the field. But you have to change your schemes to put that together, and a lot of coaches are a little stubborn. It happens year in and year out. I mean, it's an issue. So, like I said, the Vikings don't think they have much of a chance next year. Bears, I think, are going to be great. Packers definitely have an opportunity to keep up their 10-plus win seasons. And then the Lions, who have no cap space, they need an awesome draft. I mean, it's just they're not going to sign Avril. They're not going to bring him back. They're going to have an awesome draft, and they're going to have to be able to perform from day one.
Yeah, well, the other thing I look at is you know, your rankings, your reasonings for the Bears being, you know, a great team are there. But I would definitely suggest that you should definitely wait and see what happens with this free agency period. And then reassess, because if the Vikings, if they make a splash at wide receiver, if they get a Mike Wallace, I really wouldn't count them out, to be completely honest with you. Sure, you know, Percy Harvin is not just the only departure on that team, and sure, the chemistry may be lacking a little bit. But remember, that, you know, they have 16 games in the season to get it all together. We've seen so many late runs from teams and making playoff bursts that we thought would be impossible when they start off, what, 4 and
no,
losing records.
I understand, and also the Bears have to go out and get these offensive linemen. They might not see it the same way everyone else in the world sees it.
Right.
But like I said, I think it lines up best for them. That bottom line, it just lines up best for the Bears.
Yeah, they may think that their, you know, third to seventh round picks of offensive linemen will do it for them.
Because Gabe Kareemi was a great first round pick for him. Was it 2 years ago? Just hasn't worked out. You're listening to Sports Talk AM 870 on WKAR. Phone number is 355-9527. Toll free 877-952-7870. We're going to take a break and be right back in a moment.
Last November, coal was a point of contention.
Obama's ruining the coal industry.
Save coal, fire Obama.
But while federal regulations contribute to coal's problems here at home, American coal finds welcome markets abroad. I'm Neil Conan, Coal and Coal Country. Plus, The New Yorker's David Remnick on the scandal at the Bolshoi Ballet. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Some light snow and cloudy with a high of 34 degrees today. Tonight, look for scattered snow and a low in the low 20s. Cloudy with a slight chance of light snow and a high in the low 30s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high reaching the upper 30s on Thursday. This is Scott Pohl.
That was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870. I'm Larry Marasco, back with you on Sports Talk, WKAR AM 870. Phone lines are open at 355-9527. Toll free, 877-952-7870. We're going to continue on this NFL thing because it looks like we have a lot to say. Let's talk about the Lions for a second. Here's a team that's losing a lot. They're going to wind up losing Chariles, probably, their offensive lineman.
And the, there's so many question marks with the team.
And there's no money. From what I understand, there's no money. So they're going to have to – they're fortunate that they have a draft where they have the opportunity at the top, possibly, to get the best cornerback. And I say possibly because someone else might take a stab at him.
Sure.
Now, through four.
And why they don't have money is a whole other conversation. But – like you said, if they do take a cornerback, if they do, take a top flight in Alabama, D. Milner, or they do take, would you feel comfortable with any of those backs in that first round stepping in right away and being, being a leader on that field? I don't know.
Comfortable isn't really where we're at right now. I think the point is, what chance are you going to take? And it's much cheaper these days for that number five pick to be a starting cornerback than it is to go get a free agent cornerback. So, if in the perfect world for the Lions, number five pick is Milner, the Alabama cornerback, and their second round pick, which I believe they still have, second round pick, mm-hmm. is going to be a D lineman, because it's a huge D lineman draft. They're going to need one to replace Averill, and something on the outside. So I'm going to guess logically, that's where I think they go.
The other thing is look at Averill himself was a fifth. I believe he was a fifth round pick when he came out of college. There are plenty of times where the Lions have developed some of these later picks, have produced Cliff Averill dominance in the league. But even if they do take a defensive end at number two, what about the hole at tight end? Brandon Pettigrew was one of the reasons why. I see you nodding your head there, but listen, sure, there is Megatron, there is Calvin, but Brandon Pettigrew, if you're a Lion fan, you know how much he helped with that passing game. Sure, you can hate on him, his inconsistencies, his dropping balls, but the thing was is that you can't find a tight end in the league consistently who is really a dominant possession receiver right in the middle of the field.
My issue with And this isn't how he's played. I have an issue. I grew up in New York. I guess I was a Giants fan as a kid. I loved Mark Bavaro. So there's nothing – linebackers and tight ends, that's my love of football right there.
Right.
You give me a solid tight end, not necessarily the guys today, because tight ends aren't tight ends anymore. They line up as slot receivers, and they're basically power forwards playing football, which is great. I mean, it's – the fact they opened their mind up to this 10 years ago and allowed this to happen, we wouldn't have Tony Gonzalez's and everyone else, for that matter, without them opening their mind. So, but I would never use a first-round pick in a tight end. They are so much of a result of your offense that I wouldn't do it. Pettigrew, I didn't like the pick. You had two picks that year. And the second one was Pettigrew. I think it was at the Stafford Pettigrew draft.
Right? Oh, sure.
How I know this, because I'm not a Lions fan, but tells you how much time I have in my hands. Would have never done it. And one of the problems the Lions have, and this is what a lot of teams have, when you're bad for a long time, you wind up with a lot of high draft picks. And unfortunately, when the Lions were drafting, they still had to pay a lot of money for those high draft picks. And if they wind up being quality NFL football players, those high draft picks want raises, even though they probably don't deserve to be paid any more money, but their expectation was getting paid $40 million on a 5 or 6 year deal. And I think Stafford's was like 60 because he was a quarterback, that you have to up the bar in their second contract, even though across the league, they might not be worth that. But to the player, You just paid me this for my first 4 or 5 years. I'm going to be better now. You owe me more money. And that's what's hurt the Lions. They have Sue that's going to have a new contract soon. Stafford needs to be redone for them to have salary cap space. And Calvin Johnson just got mega deal. Forget, you know. So their problem is they were almost too successful at the top of their draft, and it's cost them way too much money on three guys. And when Sue comes up for more money, even though he hasn't lived up to expectations, he's good. He's good, but he doesn't dominate like I think I thought he was going to do. Thought he was going to, you know, I thought it was Warren Sapp 2.0. I thought he was going to recreate.
And that's why they drafted him, because they thought he was going to be Warren Sapp 2.0.
And we're not, I mean, I'm not saying he's a below average defensive tackle. He's just not the most dominant defensive tackle in the league. And I'm not alone in saying that that's what I expected to happen when he came into the NFL. But that's an issue for the Lions. And then when you make mistakes on guys like Titus Young, which cost you money for making that mistake, cost you a draft pick, which
second round,
right? Yeah. You can't make those mistakes when you have so much money tied up in three guys. It's a problem moving forward. Phone lines are open at 355-9527, toll free 877-952-7870. We're talking NFL football. And your Lions, as free agency comes up in 2.5 hours at 2 o'clock. Don't forget that Talk of the Nation is coming up right after us. So, Alex, we've talked Lions, we've talked Bears, we've talked Vikings. The Packers have to deal with Greg Jennings. I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he's that important to have back.
And that's exactly what I was going to say.
Their machine at this point, it's you have Aaron Rodgers and you just fill in the pieces around him and you don't overpay any of them. They released Charles Woodson. He's on the market. They have a leader on the defensive side they have to replace. But if you would think those two losses would be a big deal, but when it comes to the Packers, it's not. I have no doubts the Packers next year will be right where you expect them to be. They have to shore up their running game. But that's been a problem forever now, and they still find a way to win football games. Again, free agency, I don't see them doing anything but plugging small holes. They're going to have to pay Aaron Rodgers $25 million a year soon. You're going to have to do it. So he's going to get paid more than Flacco. It's just going to happen. So I can't see them doing a lot. So wrapping up the division, moving forward, no matter what happens, I don't see the Lions being anything but the third best team in the division next year, because they can't, unless they strike gold in the draft, and the Bears are dumb, which could happen. I can't see them.
Or unless Sue basically declares his dominance and adds the Warren Sapp 2.0.
Sure, but again, there's still, we don't know about, again, they have to draft a cornerback. Mm-hmm. They have to find answers to their holes. Because Sue can't do that all.
And even the running back position, because you know, with Jarvin Bess and his whole thing. I mean, now there's rumors to be looked at Reggie Bush, which I'm a little questionable.
Forgot all about it. I apologize. Yes, because Bess might not play again. No fault of his. He just might, his head. It's unfortunate. He might be gone. So they're in the market, and I wouldn't be surprised. I know Lacy, I think, just pulled out of his pro day in Alabama at Lacy, and I wouldn't be shocked if that's someone that the Lions are fortunate enough to fall into the third round because of injuries and question marks. But, yes, they do need a running back, and they're going to have issues filling their holes. So that is an issue. Again, you're listening to AM 870 Sports Talk Radio. Phone lines are open at 355-9527, toll-free 877-952-7870. We're talking NFL football. We will close the show for the last 15 minutes talking about MSU basketball and the tournament coming up on Thursday. MSU will play Friday, and they will play the late-night game at 9 p.m. against the winner of, well, let's just say they're playing Iowa. That's it. I'm just going there. They're playing Iowa. But it's the winner of Iowa and Northwestern. Last thing about the NFC Norris division, the Bears' new head coach, Mark Trestman, offensive coach, and I think we're all right. I mean, everyone has to think that they're going to go after offensive linemen in free agency, and that's only going to make them that more dangerous. I just wanted to point out that that's one of the reasons why you can focus on that. We have a caller. Ray, you're on the line.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing today?
I just got home. I was hearing you guys were talking about the NFL. I had a buddy. I used to work down at Michigan Stadium. I was hearing all the time, and at these dinners, I'd run into Stevie Breston after the games. He went and played with the Cardinals 4 or 5 years, almost won the Super Bowl, got a great contract with the Chiefs, and it didn't work out. They cut him 3-4 weeks ago, and I think he could help him with somebody – team with punt and kickoff returns. He's really always been great, all-time leader of all time in Big Ten for punt returns. I was wondering if any word on him on wide receiver. I know there's going to be a lot of guys ahead of him, but he's a real nice guy. I was just wondering any chance any teams are interested in him and how's things going for him?
Well, I know nothing on Steve Breston and who's interested in Steve Breston. The issue I'd have, he was released by the Chiefs.
Right.
Not a great team, but it's a new regime. So they might just be cleaning house. Secondly,
well,
and if anyone needs another threat with Calvin Johnson, it would be the Lions. Not that I'm saying he's coming back to Michigan.
Right.
But, NFL lifespan is short for most players.
Yeah, he could do punt or kickoff returns. Well, he always did that in Michigan. He did it for the Arizona Cardinals. But, you know, the Chiefs were more or less of a running team. He got 5 years, $5 million a year when he got the Chiefs, and I was worried when he went there. You got to have a quarterback to get the ball to you, or you're screwed if you're a wide receiver, and they didn't have any quarterbacks. He got 700 yards the first year. He only got 100 yards this last year, but they didn't even activate him 9 straight games. So he didn't get much playing chance, you know, at all.
Which says that he wasn't that high on the depth chart either. So
right.
And when you talk about the kicking game, punt returns and kick returns, it's a young man's game. For the most part, you can get that cheap via college free agents and late round picks. They're specialists. You're not paying a lot for the position unless he is an excellent player. Look at Josh Cribbs. Cribbs was amazing, and he's kind of fallen off the map because, you know, he's older. It's 3 or 4 years past when he was the guy. And I was a big Josh Cribbs fan. He played for an awful team, but he was great to watch. And, you know, Breston's getting up there in NFL age. I'm not saying he's an old man.
He's about 29 or 30.
Yeah, he's not an old man.
He's not old man.
But in NFL age, that's not young.
Right.
So,
is there any way you can look on the internet and find out what teams might be interested?
Yeah, and actually, I'm looking it up right now, Ray. And what the main caution about Breston that a lot of teams are dealing with is that, you know, he did have that knee, you know, that knee injury and
when did that happen?
The knee surgery. Well, basically, Alex Rodriguez, when he had his knee surgery, he went to this treatment center in Germany that I guess has helped him, and Breston tried to do the same, you know, going European, a typical American thing to do. But yeah, for Steve Breston's concerns, you know, another thing is just besides his age, like you guys were saying, is his production after having a surgery. So the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns are supposedly looking at him right now. Whether that could be the ultimate fit, replacing a Mike Wallace, I don't know, considering Pittsburgh has kind of been off the map for years. But Ray, I mean,
when did he have surgery? I didn't know about the surgery.
Yeah, the knee surgery, he didn't have it, but he's like considering having it just because he did have some knee problems. Nothing happened.
Okay.
But just the fact that he is dealing with some knee issues, he is debating having that surgery just to get it all cleared up.
Okay.
But that's the deal from what
was
I understand with Preston.
Last year that he had knee problems?
Right.
Because I was wondering why he wasn't activated 9 games. That might have had something to do with it. Somebody said he was working on an injury, but they never did stay on the air ever game any of the games.
Yeah, I think they were pretty quiet about it.
Yeah, they usually
Michigan.
Are. Yeah.
Ray, thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ray. We have some information. Tony Gonzalez has decided to play football again.
Wow.
I could have sworn...
What?
He's back. He's going to play again. It's on ESPN. I don't have a direct line of communication to Tony or the Falcons. But during the weekend, I thought it came through that Gonzalez was making some ridiculous salary demands if he was going to play again, which I thought was going to be an impediment to him continuing his career. But it looks like his quote, after discussing it with my family and really, truly struggling with this decision, I informed the Falcons I would like to return for one more shot. That's nice. Him and Matt Ryan are going to lose again in the playoffs. That's sweet. That's sweet of him. What do you think? Tony Gonzalez, greatest of all time. There's no argument. He is what everyone thinks a tight end is supposed to be.
He's the epitome of a first round tight end that would be a better Brandon Pettigrew, sure. But but the thing about Tony Gonzalez in that Falcon team is with Matt Ryan, sure, he would like to play again, but what's the point for him? Is he trying to win a championship? I'm just trying to figure out the end game for him here.
Super Bowl. I mean, it's everyone. You know, he just saw Ray Lewis go out on top, and he was trying to do the same thing. And now, you know, he thinks it's possible with his team. Let's be honest. He's on a team where he is the third receiving option. I mean, and believe me, that extends his career. I'm not saying he couldn't be the number one receiving option on a team right now and still get his numbers, but they wouldn't be a winning team. He is the third option with two excellent wide receivers. They have two number one wide receivers and the greatest tight end of all time. Receiving, you know, the greatest modern day. Okay, because I'm still a Mark Bavaro guy, I'm not going to lie. But the greatest receiving tight end of all time, and the team is stacked. They need a running back. They just got rid of Turner. The word is, you know, everyone's talking Steven Jackson, who only needs, again, this is a team that only needs one good year.
Right.
They just got a new stadium. They're building a brand new stadium just north of the, south of the Georgia Dome for $1 billion, and they're getting a couple hundred million from the city to help out, but they only need 1 year out of a tight end and 1 year out of a running back, and obviously shore up their defense. They got rid of Abraham, they got rid of Dunter Robinson, so this answers their offense. They need a running back, and now they have to take care of some holes in the defense that they created. But these are things that can be taken care of in the draft if they're good at what they do.
Right, and that's the thing with Gonzalez is, yeah, you know, there's that Super Bowl just like Ray Lewis did, but Are you that confident in that Falcon team? Because like you said, you believe that Matt Ryan and that team will not win in the playoffs. And Tony Gonzalez, if he's looking there, he's saying that they have a great shot to win. But do they? Tony, I don't know.
Offensively, they can play with anybody.
Right.
It's the question with the NFL today, it's so tough to put together two sides of the football that can dominate. So they need to shore up the defensive side of the football.
Right. Well. Here's the thing: if I was Tony Gonzalez, and you're coming back to an Atlanta team that has been a disappointment for the last 2 years, if he's coming back to a Niners team, or if he's coming back to a team that made the Super Bowl last year, I think it'd be a different story. But the fact that he's taking a chance on a team that has been a disappointment, and if they do lose when he comes back, that's going to be the worst feeling in the world.
See, my feeling is he's locked in to make the playoffs. In Atlanta, he's a lock to make the playoffs.
Right.
As long as there's no injury to Ryan. And obviously, the NFL has proven you just got to get in to play. I was talking to a buddy of mine, I'm not going to use his name, last night, and he was talking about how the NHL playoffs, crapshoot. You know, all you got to do is get in. The eighth seed last year won the Stanley Cup. Yeah, and I made a point. It's like the LA Kings have 10 All-Stars on their team. Okay, they might have been the eighth seed, but all they have to do is get in.
The NHL is like the NCAA tournament.
No, it's not that bad. But the point I'm making is,
we saw Belmont in a bunch of 12 and 13s go.
True. But the point I'm making is, the NFL, you do not have to be a one seed to win anything. It's actually a detriment to be a one seed. It doesn't help. it's been that like that for years. So anybody complaining about the NHL regular season, NFL regular season is the same thing. You just, because only 12 teams make it, you think the NFL regular season means something, but that number one seed, that home field advantage in almost all sports means nothing anymore. And like I said, the Falcons are getting in. Tampa, they're not, again, they had they came down for a year. They're not going to be anything special. The Saints have to figure out how to play defense, and they're a long ways from that, even with Rob Ryan there. Spagnuolo, who was a genius for the Giants, has now failed in two stops with St. Louis and New Orleans, and he was out after 1 year in New Orleans. So you can't expect New Orleans to put together a defense that's going to stop Atlanta. And then you have Carolina. Okay, they're going to start winning after the eighth game of the season for like the fourth time in the last 6 or 7 years. So it's Atlanta's division to give up. They should guarantee themselves a playoff spot. I mean, they have four wins. You give them two against Tampa and two against Carolina if they don't screw it up. And then you split with New Orleans, you start 5-1.
Right.
So Atlanta's going to the playoffs next year unless they get injured or unless they screw things up. And Gonzalez knows he fits in. He doesn't have to learn a new playbook. He just, you know, it's all natural at this point to him.
Right.
So it just makes sense.
Sure. I also think, though, I do actually do understand what you're saying, and I agree to a lot of aspects. But there is the intangible of leaving on the right note. And, yes, they're going to be a playoff team, and they will compete. But I just think that whenever a player comes back from retirement, we saw Michael Jordan when sure, it's a completely different sport, but we've seen players come back from retirement before, and when they don't end with, you know, Tony Gonzalez is the end-all, be-all of tight ends. We said it to start the show. He is the number one guy. If you're coming back and you are a legend, if you are a historic Hall of Fame tight end, and you're coming back to a league where you're competing and your goal is to win a Super Bowl, if you are already that historic number one guy and you go for that goal and fail, just the intangible of his reputation and just the fact of his legacy, I think, is an aspect that you can't ignore. Does that make sense?
I disagree only because he hasn't retired yet. He just thought this was going to be his last year, and he was pretty adamant about it, but he never actually sat out a year. It's not like he's coming back.
Right, right.
And it's not like he's chasing it where every year he's going to a team he thinks he can win a championship with. I mean, he suffered through Kansas City for God knows how long, and then he went to Atlanta. You know, this was his second or third year in Atlanta. So, no, I don't. If he was chasing, like, if he called up the Niners wouldn't need him because they have Davis, but if he called up San Francisco, like Randy Moss last year, just trying to catch on as that third or fourth or fifth wide receiver
right.
to win a title, where he wasn't going to be the reason they won. He was just part of the, you know, part of the plan. He lost his shot with the Patriots. Let's be honest. His career was over after that, unfortunately,
right.
for him.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest receiver maybe we've ever seen. It's arguable, but Randy Moss was fantastic. So, no, I don't think this hurts Tony Gonzalez. And you're talking about one of the most stand-up guys in the league. I mean, no one – I've never heard any bad things about – Tony Gonzalez.
No, never.
So, no, this doesn't hurt his rep. If anything, I think we're rooting for him. I think a lot of people are rooting for him. Great players die on bad teams throughout history. I mean, you can't help
look
where
at Jason,
you're playing.
Look at Jason Hansen.
Okay, now we're talking kickers. But and but you take – now, different argument. But, yes, I would argue if the Lions didn't play in a dome all these years, there wouldn't be Jason Hansen anymore. No offense, Jason Hansen. But – yes, look at Jason Hansen. And you tell me that if the Lions win the Super Bowl next year, I'm guessing you're a Lions fan.
Yeah, of course.
So if the Lions win the Super Bowl next year, that the picture you're going to want to see is Jason Hansen with the Lombardi Trophy. Come on.
Yeah. Most Lions fans want to see that. Yeah.
I like it, but yeah. I don't see it happening.
Well, and if you're a Bears fan, I mean, who would you want to see with the Lombardi
Trophy? Oh, it's Urlacher. It's Urlacher.
Oh, yeah.
Right now it'd be Urlacher.
Right.
I can't see
it. Well, that's my
else.
Point. It's an obvious choice that Hansen will be the guy.
He's a kicker.
But he is a stone man. He is ancient.
No, they're under again, their consistent field goal kicking is underappreciated. There's no question.
Right.
I still think it's hysterical that sometimes they get franchised. Like punters and kickers are getting franchised these days. Love it. And it's all because the dollar signs are cheap. It's $3 million.
Right,
it's nothing against your cap. If you can guarantee your kicking game for $3 million, you do it. But as we've seen, there's nothing guaranteed in kicking. It's ridiculous. David Akers for Philly, as ice as it got, you know, he played in an awful weather city. You know, Philadelphia's a tough place to kick. It's not Pittsburgh, where that stadium on the river is just crazy. But it's a tough place to kick, and he was awesome for years. For him to have the year that he had this past season, I mean, just hard to watch. You're listening to AM 870 WKAR Sports Talk Radio. Stay tuned for more Sports Talk after this short break.
On the next Fresh Air, Adrian Young, a former hip-hop DJ who's now a composer and producer and takes his inspiration from the soul music of the 60s and European film composers like Ennio Morricone. Young produced the new Ghostface Killah album and produced and co-wrote a new album with William Hart, who was the lead singer of the Delfonics. Join us.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. Today will be cloudy. Look for light snow. The high will be 34. Scattered snow with a low in the low 20s tonight. Cloudy Wednesday, a slight chance of light snow tomorrow, the high 32. And mostly sunny with a high in the upper 30s on Thursday.
You're back here on AM 870 Sports Talk Radio. That was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870. Well, we've concluded our NFL talk. We're going to break into some Spartan basketball. Alex and I were speaking earlier, and he wasn't here yesterday when we got into it. Tournament starts Thursday. Michigan State plays Friday night, 9 p.m. They will play the winner of Iowa Northwestern. And if they win that game, it would look like Ohio State on right. Saturday. Yeah. Alex doesn't know this, but I believe Ohio State, being the hottest team going into the tournament in the Big Ten, is the team to beat this weekend. That's not me taking a shot at anybody else in the conference. I just think, and I don't think they're the best team, but right now, they just look good. They have everything going right now, and going into the tournament, they're the most well put together and ready to play.
Yeah, my question for you is if Ohio State is the team, and Indiana, of course, winning the championship, but the Tom Crean argument, that's a whole other story, because if Tom Crean's argument drags out, which I don't think it will, with they've apologized for it.
Oh, you're done with the coach?
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about it yesterday.
No, and what I'm trying to understand is, how I talked about it on my show yesterday too, is how his argument will affect not only the longevity into the tournament and the Big Ten tournament, but how that argument will affect his teammates in any media distraction whatsoever.
This is how I think it affects them. If they get to the semifinals and it winds up being Michigan, who would have to beat Wisconsin in the second round,
right,
or the quarters, whatever you want to call it, and they have to play Michigan, Michigan blows them out. That's now they should have won Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. Indiana got two gifts. Michigan State gave them one in their home court, and then Michigan gave them one in their home court. You know, the Michigan teams could have free throws right. in the last two games. Both had leads in the last 2 minutes and couldn't put it away. And if not that you should need any more motivation than just winning the freaking basketball
Indiana
game.
also knocked down a plethora of three-pointers.
Yeah, no, just saying. Not that you need any more motivation, but Michigan, if they wound up playing Indiana, I think would kill them.
No,
at this point, I just think it happened. I'm not talking like 30.
Now if they do, and Michigan, let's say Michigan wins that Big Ten tournament and they blow out the lights of Indiana, how would you rank them?
God, it's still a two.
Still a two?
Yeah, still a two. And who? Let's be honest, nobody's earned a one.
No,
there are not four number ones this year. No one's has the right to say, you know, you screwed me this year. It just doesn't exist.
Right, right.
Going in, I know some people have their doubts, but you got to give Gonzaga their due, even though they're probably not the best team in the country. It's just the way it works out. Force teams to schedule them to play them on Gonzaga's home court or have home and homes, and we'll talk. And you can complain as a major conference that they're number one. But until you invite them to come to your court and accept the fact that you're going back to Washington to play them the next year, you don't have a complaint. You've got nothing to stand on. Gonzaga will be the number one seed. They won't make the Final Four, unfortunately. You know, they really need that to finally solidify their program, because Butler's blown them out of the water by doing it twice. George Mason killed them by doing it once in VCU, and Gonzaga's the one that's been there for a decade now, and they still haven't crossed that threshold. So they need to, but no one has anything. You know, there's not a big conference team that can say, I deserve a one. I am that good of a team this year. It's just one big jumble. So no one's earned it. So I have no issue with whatever they put on the one lines come this Sunday.
Right.
They you can't complain. I would have an issue with a Michigan State, no matter what they do in the tournament, being a four. That would make no sense to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be where you can complain, is how low you've gone. But you can't complain about not being a one. That's just the way I see it. But Michigan, too. I think the biggest thing for Michigan and Michigan State is to make sure they're in Auburn Hills the first weekend, which I think they will be. I think that's a lock. They'll both be in Auburn Hills with the pod system. which you would think was, it was built so that they could sell more tickets, and they haven't sold more tickets. It's amazing. I go every year. They don't sell tickets anymore. It's ridiculous. There's always tickets available, and they get cheaper and cheaper on the aftermarket as you wait. So, what are your thoughts? Who do you think should be a number one seed?
I mean, that's a fair argument. There is no clear seed, but I honestly, like you say that no matter what, even if Michigan does do well in the tournament, they're still two. To be honest, if Michigan State, Ohio State, any of those two teams who kind of have been under the radar in the Big Ten Conference the whole year, would you not agree? Both those teams have been under the radar.
No, I think when they've gotten their chance to peak in the rankings anyways, they've thrown it away. See, I think like Michigan State wasn't penalized much, and this is where they got it right, in my opinion. They lost three games in a row to good teams, and they weren't ranked 20th in the nation. Mm-hmm. If it was football, they might not have been ranked after losing the three top 10 teams.
And that's exactly my point, is that the fact that Indiana and Michigan were both number one in the country, and that kind of, you know, enhanced the Big Ten as a conference in terms of being a dominating, you know, basketball conference this year, which is a shock even to begin with, to see the Big Ten once again being a good basketball conference. But just the fact that Indiana and Michigan were both number ones, for me, in terms of the Big Ten leader, Michigan and State and Ohio State have been not in the spotlight.
But that's, see, and I don't know if you're just putting it out there.
Oh, no, I'm going to connect it.
You can. I look at it, if I'm a Michigan State fan, there's nothing better than an underappreciated Tom Izzo basketball team.
Oh, absolutely.
So if they feel disrespected, which I can't see how they're going to, they're going to be at least a three seed, so I can't see how they're going to feel disrespected. But if they feel disrespected, it's a good thing. Yeah. There's nothing worse than a Michigan State basketball team that at the beginning of the season is ranked in the top five. It kills us every time.
Yeah, it does.
So something about those press clippings and that can really hurt the Michigan State basketball team. But moving forward, the seeds, the top 12 seeds could be anybody. Yeah, you know, top 12 guys could be anywhere in the top three in each region, and it'll all clear up this weekend. But whoever winds up being number one in each bracket, or who doesn't wind up being number one, has nothing to complain about. Everybody's lost plenty of games this year, and to inferior opponents. Michigan State's the only team that hasn't lost to a very inferior opponent. Back in December, you might have thought Miami was, because they lost to Florida Gulf Coast and then beat Michigan State.
And the other thing is if Michigan State plays Northwestern again, and they've already been close to Northwestern in two games this year, and they do drop that game, which sure, it isn't favored, but I don't know, Northwestern's perimeter threat, it's scary. I personally am scared by this Northwestern team if I'm a Michigan State fan.
Listen, Michigan State didn't play most of the game Sunday. You know, they died in the second half.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, I use that term loosely. Everybody's died today. If Northwestern gets past the quarterfinals, all that says is the Big Ten wasn't as good as we all thought it was. So let's hope Northwestern doesn't get past Iowa just for the Big Ten reputation nationally, which is something we could talk about all day. I hate that. I hate that national.
Talk about it tomorrow.
We could. Alex, thank you very much for helping out today. He is my producer. Without him, I am not on the air in day two. We will be back tomorrow, 1 to 2, here on AM 870 Sports Talk Radio. Right now, you'll listen to Talk of the Nation at 2 p.m. I'm Larry Marasco. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.